All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Well, let's continue. So we're picking up in Sif Hei. Parak Aleph, I should say, what they call the Shar HaRishon, the first Shar in Shar Tshuva, Sif Hei. If you're following along, again, in this edition, it's page Zayin. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes the following, Sashinis. The second thing that's important to realize is the following. So remember, Ki Ashona Bechet O Tshuvasa Kashin. But there's a very profound piece here, that one who goes ahead and repeats his sin, his tshuva, the ability to do tshuva, is exceptionally difficult. Ki Na'asa Lo Hachit Keheter. Because Rabbi said, when a person repeats negative behaviors, so the sin, the chait, becomes like something that is permitted. He says, Ubazeh kavda ma'od chataso. And Rabbi said, as a result, the sin becomes very heavy upon him. So we'll have to discuss exactly what this means. This notion that when you repeat negative behaviors, so they no longer feel like negative behaviors. Instead, ultimately, they begin to feel like that which is permitted. Ubazeh kavda ma'od chataso. And there's a certain heightened level of liability as a result of this. Now, I'll tell you just in the edition that I'm looking at, in the Perush of Meshivas Nefesh, he says something quite beautiful over here in the name of Rav Itzala Blazer. So listen to this. Just bow pat. Listen to this. So Rav Itzala Blazer wrote the following. He says, Im adam osa avera, ubishas maisa hu ne'anach. If a person commits an avera, and at the time that he committed the avera, the time that he sinned, ki ne'anach. Nenach means what? He cracked. He let out a sigh. So listen to this. Kosim alav b'shamayim. So in Shamayim, in the heavenly sphere, when they're, because remember again, as the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtav, and everything we do is recorded. So as they're recording this event, they say, ploni avar avera aval tocha nocha. So Chaim Yankel sinned, but he sighed. But he sighed when he sinned. What does that mean? What does that nanach, what does that sigh represent? That sigh represents, sometimes in life we fail and we do necessarily the greatest things, but I recognize that what I'm doing is incorrect. And the truth is, there's a mila, there's a level to that. There's a level, I'm a human being, so I'm making a mistake. Sometimes it's a significant mistake, but I know that what I'm doing is incorrect. That krechts, that sigh, that anocha, is recorded in Shamayim. That's part of this because Ploni sinned, so-and-so sinned, but he sighed. But someone who sinned and did not groan, did not sigh, did not krech, Ploni avra b'li anocha. And for the other guy, it says, Chaim Yankel, he went ahead and he committed an avera, and he didn't sigh. He didn't sigh. Vahedl ben shneihem hu atzel. And ultimately, says of Itzel Blazer, the difference between those two people is exceptionally profound. He says, "V'chan mechivan sha'avar v'shanaba na'asa lo keheter eino ne'enach bepamashnia kimo berishona." So Itzel Blazer writes, he says, "Here's the difference: when a person sins the first time, often there's a sigh, right? There's a krecht. I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't fight the temptation, or I feel I need to do it for whatever the reason. But there's a sigh. I'll say, what the Shari Tshuva is telling us is sometimes when you come around to the second time, I repeat the sin, what happens? So intellectually, I may know that it's still incorrect, but there's no sigh. There's no sigh. And when a Jew stops sighing when sinning, that's a dangerous point to be at. I'll tell you, what I found so profound, and I hope you feel the same profundity, is people often think that the goal is not to sin. So, and that is true. The goal is not to sin. But for most of us, that's not necessarily a realizable goal, like now. Sometimes the goal is just to sigh. Sometimes the goal is, if I could just keep my bearings about me, because sometimes the greatest danger in life, what you're going to learn about today, is that when I repeat negative behaviors, so I begin to lose that line between right and wrong. I begin to lose, or that line begins to move somewhere else on the spectrum. The goal is at least if I can't, obviously I'm not going to be perfect. And if I can't be exactly the kind of person I know I should be, at least to make sure that my machshavas, my thoughts, my hashkafas, my outlooks are all rooted in the same place. So back to the Shai Tshuva. He says, Kimosha Nama, as the Pasuk says, Hine dibarta vatasi haraos vatuchal. Behold, you have spoken, you have committed bad things, vatuchal. What does vatuchal mean? Beir vatuchal, ki haraos naasos lalcha keheter. That ultimately, that which is negative, ultimately again becomes like something that is permitted. Ubedavar shube biachalascha. Uber shuscha, and like something that is within your yecholus, your ability, your reshus miloshon lo suchal leechol b'sharecha shetargumo less the charashu. Fine. V'am Rav Asin, you'll see already the Shari Tshuva also spends a lot of time developing different psukim. So we're not necessarily going to spend so much time, going through every one of his proofs. V'am Rav Asin is from the Rav Asin. Abasi here, Shari Tshuva quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says, Kevan sha'avar adam aveira v'shanaba. When a person has committed an aveira and repeated it, Naasis lo keheter. The avera becomes like a permitted thing. In other words, when you repeat negative behaviors, so ultimately, again, those negative behaviors cease to feel negative. Rather, they actually become like something that is permitted. And the rabbis explain, Ish sha'avar avera v'shanaba. Suppose the rabbis explain that this refers to someone, ultimately, again, who has committed an avera, and repeat, I will say, so again, there's not a chiddush here, although this sounds like a dramatic statement, we are creatures of habit. Because we are creatures of habit, so lemaisa, again, when I do something for the first time, and I know that it's wrong, But lemaisa, the more I repeat negative behaviors, the more ingrained those behaviors become, and the more the stigma attached to those behaviors falls away. So again, because we're creatures of habit, and this is ma'asim b'chol yom, things that I never thought I would do. I did it once, and guess what? I'm still standing. And after I do it once, I break down the barrier and the stigma of sin. And it's easy, and if committed a second time, automatically it can become to feel like something that is permitted. And he says the following, Kimikan ve'elech, because from this point forward, Im yachshov la'asos ha'avera v'ne'enas. I will say, now listen to this, this is a very profound statement. Because after a person commits an avera, and then repeats it, if from that point on, if a person wanted to commit an avera, v'ne'enas v'lo asa, and he was ne'enas. Ne'enas means, well, so I was ready to, so I committed avera A, whatever that is, I went ahead and I repeat it. And now again, I begin to think about the avera, so machshavto hara'a mitzarefes l'maisa. Seems to be a very strong statement. My negative thought begins to combine to action. I was about to say, under normal circumstances, the halacha normally is that I am not held accountable for negative thoughts, right? With certain exceptions, right? Avodah Zarah is one of those exceptions, and there are certain morality issues that are related to thought as well. But leaving that aside, in general, if a person thinks about committing an avera, they're generally not held responsible for committing that avera. However, says the Shari Tshuva, something amazing. It's actually, he's quoting the Gemara, that after a person becomes habituated with the performance of an avera, so after I've done it once, after I've done it twice, so after that point in time, a person is even held responsible for the thoughts regarding the avera. Incredible idea. So therefore, after the second time and on, if I think about doing an avera, even if I don't end up actually committing the avera, I am held responsible for the thought as if I committed the action. So first of all, it seems very extreme. Very extreme. I mean, why are we looking to hold a person more responsible now for thought than he was before? What's the pshat? So we'll say it's a very important yisod. Perhaps what the Shai Tshuva is actually saying is the following. That because we are creatures of habit, once I've gone ahead and broken down that barrier, in other words, once I've gone ahead and I've sinned once, I've sinned twice, once I've gone ahead and ultimately, again, naasis lo keheter, chances are that if I'm thinking about it, I will do it. I will do it. So this time I wasn't able to do it. This time there was an onus, saying the circumstance that didn't allow me to perform the Avera. Fine, this time I didn't do it. But Lamaisa, once that Avera has become part of my behavioral repertoire, right? Once it's part of my life. So therefore, once it's in my thoughts, chances are it's going to come out to action. So it's almost as if the Shari Tshuva is not talking about over here an additional layer of punishment. The Shari Tshuva is talking about mitzias. He's talking about reality. That once negative behaviors become part of my life and part of my persona, so once I begin to think about them, ultimately again, it's only a question until they materialize into concrete action. He goes on, Va'alav ne'emar yirmiya, hine ane mevi ra'a ala amazeh pre-machshavosom. As the Navi says, behold, I will bring ra'a evil upon this nation, the fruits of their thoughts. So the Shari Tshuva is saying over here, you see from here that what? That even for thought, there's some level of responsibility. So when does thought create responsibility? Only in a situation of, say, where a person has engaged in repeated behavior and ultimately, again, has come to the point of Na'asis Lo Heter. So say, it's an incredible, incredible yisod. How careful we have to be. See, what this is saying is the following. That in the process of Tshuva, there are two parts. There are two parts. There's more than two parts. But there's two parts so far that we're discussing with Tshuva. In other words, there are certain things that I know that I'm doing that are wrong that need to be corrected. That's one level of Tshuva. Rabbi said there's another dynamic as well. What's the additional dynamic? The additional dynamic is that it could be that there's a whole host of behaviors that are quote-unquote wrong, but because I've been doing them for so long, then what? They've become like heter. They become like permitted for me. So I don't even think of them as wrong anymore. I don't even think about it as chet because the act itself has totally lost its stigma. So in the process of tshuva, I have to identify the active things that I'm doing wrong and figure out how to correct them. And it could be that over years of sustained behavior, things that began, I knew they weren't correct, but because I've been engaging in them for so many years, they've been part of my sustained type pattern of behavior, I've forgotten that they're wrong. I've forgotten that they're correct. They're na'asis lo keheter. I have to try to unravel those layers as well and figure out how to correct those behaviors as well. All right, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up in Meretz Hashem Sif Vav tomorrow.